Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 213 of the Canadian Football Countdown, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network. The entire CFC crew here with you this evening. I'm Ryan, joined by Mike, Trey, and Adam. We're here to preview week two in the CFL, taking a look at the major matchup storylines, fantasy players to watch, and our betting picks for each of the games this week. Four new games on the schedule. We'll go through them all one by one. We're also live on a variety of different platforms, thanks to our presenting sponsor, Game Time TV, which you can learn more about at gametimetv.ca. We'll take your comments, we'll take your questions in the live YouTube chat throughout the night as well, so make sure you send those in if you're joining us live here tonight. Before we go any further, we always want to acknowledge that the Canadian Football Countdown is brought to you from Treaty One Territory, traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and the homeland of the Métis Nation, as well as from Treaty 4 territory, traditional territory of the Cree, Soto, Dakota, Lakota, Nakota, and Métis Nation. Now let's bring in the rest of the members of our panel here for this evening. First, it's the great Michael Garrell. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. Happy to be back after missing last week.
Yes, happy to have you back here as well. Did you have a good birthday week last week? Big celebration on podcast night.
Yeah, you know what? Coaching the 2 days in between, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday was the only day, and such is it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed your week, and we're happy to have you back here to talk about CFL Week 2. For 2023, joining us here as well. We'll continue clockwise, I guess, on my screen. Go to the great Adam Stewart next, decked out in his Rider green, celebrating big victory last week, big rivalry week coming up here. Adam, how are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing real well. I'm actually surprised not a single one of these guys are wearing any Blue Bomber blue or Toronto Argonaut blue. I mean, you know, the Ticats and the Argos, I mean, that's the big rivalry to watch this week. There might be a certain one on the prairies too, but hey, yeah, excited for the game this weekend and yeah, ready to talk some week two CFL.
Right on. Well, speaking of watching that big rivalry game between the Ticats and the Argos, we have a man here who will be at that game this weekend. The great Trey Colbeck. Trey, how are you doing tonight?
I'm tired. I've been sick and I'm trying to be better. I've had strep throat and then a stomach bug. I've lost 10 pounds over the last 2 weeks, guys. Like it's on. Not good, but you know what? I've got to say, Vegas, 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 let's go. The six-year wonder, eh?
Yes, the Vegas Golden Knights claiming the Stanley Cup last night. Wow, I love it. You know, all it took was 6 years.
I'm a big Joker fan in the Denver Nuggets. That I was really happy that they won the NBA, if we're going to talk about that, but. And Jamal Murray, Canadian. But yeah, no, I'm doing all good. Going to Toronto, got some big horsies, big football game. Man, it's going to be a long weekend for me.
Really? Twit me, Dad? You want a twit story? Like 30 seconds or less?
Sure.
You guys know how I've been despising the Las Vegas Golden Knights all playoffs?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so some variation of it. So meanwhile, I forgot that I was in a survivor pool. Where, you know, you put the names in a hat, the commissioner takes one out, and that's your team for the survivor pool. And you win a grand prize if that team happens to win the Stanley Cup. Well, I completely forgot that the team I had in the survivor pool until last night was the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So I win a Vegas Golden Knights theme prize, which is apparently very significant, which I'm going to get to see tomorrow. So through all my pain and misery of wanting the Las Vegas Golden Knights to lose, there's some benefit.
So I'm saying that I need to take Mike to the racetrack because he's got a horseshoe stuck somewhere.
You got to remember that Phil Kessel won his third Stanley Cup after leaving the Leafs. How lucky is he?
And he didn't puke this time.
And over under on how many hot dogs he ate out of that thing last night.
All the hot dogs. There's not enough in the world.
I mean, we could do a draft at some point of best foods to eat out of a trophy. I feel like hot dogs is not up there.
But I think there's some better stuff that we could use. And hey, I know of a trophy we could use.
All right, off season. Let's save that for the off season. We're very invested in the CFL season as it's underway here. We do our weekly previews every single week. We also have additional bonus content in our Discord community if you're interested in that. We've got live game chats going on every single week. If any of us are watching, we're normally pretty active in there during the live games. So it's free to join. We've got additional content. I put fantasy depth charts, tidbits about fantasy in there as well. We've got other just general CFL conversation going on. There's a link in the episode description. Free to join. Just sign up for Discord and join the CFC Discord community. Hope to see you there. Well, without further ado, let's get into our first game for week number two, which is the Calgary Stampeders visiting the Ottawa Red Blacks. Where do we want to go first here? Let's go to the storylines first. Mike, let's go to you. What do you got on the Calgary Stampeders for us in this game?
For me, one storyline, but I think for a lot of these games, it's going to be the same with the teams that I have tonight. What does the follow-up look like? I have a lot of questions about the Calgary offense, which to me was very, very disappointing in that game against BC. Jake Mayer more in particular. But that being said, they played BC last week, who a lot of experts, despite losing Nathan Ward, are pretty high on. So I think we're going to figure out very, very soon from a Calgary perspective is, was this last game just the case of two teams that are very, very good and one coming out on the short end? Or is there more to be seen? If you read between the lines with what Coach was saying this week, he was not critical of his team, but disappointed with his team. And the trademarks of at least John Hufnagel coach teams is the bounce back. Calgary was a place where nobody could win for the longest time. Now, how does Calgary respond? And obviously, another key story, who starts at running back? Dedrick Mills or Peyton Logan, both of which, to me, it would strike to be a two-headed monster in my scenario. To me, I don't think they have a number one. I think they've had three running backs that could easily be 1,000-yard receiver. 1,000-yard running backs in the lead. Be curious to see just how accurate the depth chart is in regards to who's starting, what that looks like, and how do they adjust? Because it looks like Kadeem Carey is going to miss a substantial amount of time by being placed on the sixth game. How do they respond to that? I don't think it's going to be as sort of detrimental as it would be certain other teams, but in my mind, it's still a storyline. And my other storylines as well, can the receivers made plays to pick up Jake Mayer? I know I had Jake Mayer kind of in my first tee. Can the receivers make plays for him? We'll see. And then Calgary defensively for me, I didn't have too much of a problem with them the way they did last week there. Actually, if you look at it historically on paper, this is one of the younger Stampeder teams in recent memory. So I don't know. You know, we talked a lot about it being week two and overreactions. Calgary may be missing out on a home playoff game. Might not. May or may not be an overreaction at this point through week one. But they have a pretty good chance and a pretty good opportunity to get to 1-1 this week because they're playing Ottawa. And it's going to be the case of who can win the game and who can kind of supplement one another, because I think both these teams didn't have aspirations of starting 0-2, particularly if you're the Calgary Stampeders in the West.
Let's go over to you here next, Adam, to talk a little bit about the Ottawa side of this matchup.
Yeah, and it was actually interesting you're bringing up the quarterback situation over in Calgary. On the other side of the football, Ottawa has got a terrible situation. I'm sorry, there's no other way of describing this. There's no other words to work for Nick Arbuckle anymore. A former Calgary Stampeder, he has not done absolutely anything since going to the Ottawa Redblacks. I'm sorry, it's been a very, very bad experience for Nick Arbuckle. But Ottawa really doesn't have many other choices, do they? They've got Caleb Evans, and, well, I would imagine that's about it, isn't it? No Caleb Evans.
Caleb Evans is in Montreal now. It's, who else is there? Tyree Adams and Dustin Crum, I think.
Yeah, that's right, Crum and Adams. Yeah, they could be right. Anyways, but going back to Nick Arbuckle, just cannot be letting 5 forced turnovers in a game. You can't go 220 yards in a Canadian Football League game and expect to win it. It's as simple as that. Yes, I know that he doesn't do everything on the field. He's still going to get his receivers going. His running backs have to get going, and the offensive line has to get going. But don't say the defense hasn't given him any help. They sacked Cody Fajardo 6 times last week, and that Montreal offensive line, on average, is a pretty good offensive line. So this isn't Ottawa's defensive problems. This has been an offensive problem for probably, I guess, almost 3 years now, because Ottawa has not won a home game for a very long time over in Ottawa. Another point to make here, they will have a new running back in this week, DeMontre Tuggle. He comes with an endorsement from Brandon Sanders, our resident NCAA expert. I hope Brandon's listening. Yeah, he said that he used to be able to tug the boat and do it pretty well. That would mean he's in Toronto, but he's in Ottawa. But nevertheless, sure, he can chop trees pretty well as well if he can tow the boat as well. Sure, Ryan's going to talk about him in a little bit, but Bennett will back him up. And the other one is Devontae Williams is put on the one-game IR. I'm not sure if that's hurt physically or just hurt in pride. I guess we're going to find that out soon enough. The last little point that I'm going to bring up on this, I know that somebody's going to be bringing up Justin Hardy here in a little bit because of fantasy, but I wanted to bring up Quan Bray. He actually is the number 10 receiver right now in yards. Yes, it's only 58. But you got to remember, that's right behind Dalton Schoen, who's expected to do big, big things this year. He's had a year off. He's rested. He's well ready to go. I think Quan Bray is going to have a pretty good year, especially if you can get 19.3 yards per catch. I think I'm going to be expecting to see a little bit more out of him this week against a Calgary secondary that maybe is a little bit suspect at times. So we'll see what happens there. Otherwise, on the football here, I know there's a couple more injuries over in the offensive line. Deontay Bull was injured a little bit last week before going into that game. Should be okay to go for this one, I hope. Although I don't think he's made the depth chart now that I'm looking at it here. Ottawa's still in injury mode right now. Shaq Evans is still out. Jalen Acklin, I believe, is he in this? I'm just trying to take a look here.
He is in this week.
Yes. He is active. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So the Red Blacks have a few pieces there. They could possibly pull this one off, but man, it's going to be an uphill battle against the Calgary Stampeders. Let's put it that way. So with that, I think we're going to run over to fantasy unless somebody else has something else that they want to bring up about Ottawa or Calgary.
Sit. I'm good. I'm good to get into fantasy options here because there are a couple really good ones in this Ottawa-Calgary game I'm excited for. Let's start up at the higher end ones and then work our way down to the value plays. The most expensive one that's notable to me is wide receiver Malik Henry at just under $12,000 in fantasy this week. Picked him last week, expected big things, dropped a dud. I think it was 5.9 points. It's early season. I'm trying not to overreact too much to week one because in the underlying numbers, he still had 8 targets last week, which was pretty good. Jake Mayer didn't hit him too often on those, but also he last season was a big play receiver. And you look at what Montreal did to that Ottawa defense. It was mostly big plays, like the big one to Austin Mack, for example, last week that bit that Ottawa defense. So, you know, I could see a couple big plays going Malik Henry's way. So I like him as a potential option there. You touched on Justin Hardy there briefly. Didn't work out. Same thing didn't work out last week, but still got 7 targets. Has better weeks ahead of him here. Interestingly, I think Ottawa's top four receivers all had seven targets last week, so it's actually pretty spread around, but is a guy that can get quite a few of them there. But the plays I really like are the cheaper ones in this game. And that is mostly due to injuries. I mean, running back Dedrick Mills is the starter on the depth chart. Sure, Peyton Logan might spell in here or there, but when we saw him play last season, Dedrick Mills was a force to be reckoned with and put up several 100-yard rushing games in there. And he's going to be the starter now for the next 6 weeks with Kadeem Carey on the injury list. He comes in at $8,600 in fantasy this week. On the other side of the ball, DeMontre Tuggle. Devontae Williams is out with injury. Like, Ottawa picking a running back from the Red Blacks is scary. Like, you're not expecting probably a huge total out of them, but he's $2,600. In the new fantasy system, so many players are so expensive out there that if you can get a guy for $2,600, it opens up so many other things for your roster. So, do I know anything about the guy? No. Do I see a cheap value play in fantasy? Absolutely. There, sign me up. And the last one in this game, the fifth player to watch for me, wide receiver DeVondre Dukes. He was one of my value picks last week, that I value suggestions when he was pretty cheap, and he delivered 20.5 points, 10 targets, and could be maybe a breakout player in that Stampeders wide receiver core this year at $4,800. I like that pick again this week here as well. What is everybody looking at? What's one name each of you have for fantasy from this Calgary Ottawa game? Who has one ready to go? Adam?
Yeah, I've got Quandre. I really do like him. I think that he has the potential with Shaq Evans not there right now to be a real playmaker on this Ottawa team. If he's comfortable alongside of Nick Arbuckle, he'll probably get a few more throws to him. So to me, I'm going to pick Quandre out of the Ottawa Red Blacks. And I just want to bring up one other little quick thing. It's not really an Ottawa or a Calgary thing anymore. But today, Derek Dennis, I forgot to mention this in a little bit of news, did announce his retirement today. 10 years in the AFL, not the USFL, NFL, and the CFL. Nope, XFL.
I thought he went to the XFL.
I think it was Arena. Don't think it was XFL. We'll double check that one. But nevertheless, 10 years in the league. He announced his retirement today. He's going to focus on some media things and some coaching. So, hey, if he's interested, if he's watching this podcast right now, by all means, come and join me. You can take over for my job.
Yes, absolutely. Derek Dennis, if you're ever, if you ever went in on the podcast, let us know. All right, Adam, you're going with Quandre. What about you, Trey? Who are you looking at as your top fantasy option from this game?
I can't argue with our college fantasy guy. I'm going to go with the Tuggle, man. 2.6K, and that opens up so much salary cap for some guys who have some championship rings that they're going to get on Sunday that I could fit into my lineup. So you can't argue with that. And you guys talked me into Hardy. I threw him in as my flex. I kind of like that too. I had the salary cap, so I threw him in there.
I talked you into him last week, some of you into him last week and didn't work out.
I don't think you're going to be wrong two weekends in a row. You know what I mean? I don't think it's going to be wrong twice.
Hopefully.
I made him my captain.
Really quickly, did I see the line at six?
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to get to that one in just a second here. Do you have a fantasy player to watch from this game, Mike, your go-to number?
For me, and just the player in general, I expect this to be a massive bounce back for Jake Mayer. If it's not, I would be really, really concerned if I'm Jerry.
Fair enough, yes. Well, you teased the line there. You teased the betting odds. So over to you, Trey, as we get into our picks for this game.
Yeah, I thought real quick recap of last week to 6-1-2. Ryan, against the spread, you went 3-1. You are a champion for week one. I went 2-2. Adam, 1-3. The over-under, though, I was the champ at 3-1, where both of you guys were 1-3. And if you follow along in our Discord, I kind of have a placed out hypothetical $5 on each spread, each over under in a parlay equaling $50. If you went with my picks, you would have lost $2.48. So, what, extra large coffee, whatever. If you went with Ryan, you would have lost $12.20. And Adam, you would have lost a couple ant farms at $30.99. And Mike, who went 0 for 0 for 0, didn't win nothing, but didn't lose nothing. So, you know, be like Mike, you know, don't bet responsibly and take week one off, right, Mike? But yes, you are right. This line is at the road team, the Stampeders, are favored by 6 points minus six on the line. This week's lines are weird. I don't usually argue with odds makers, but this week I'm scratching my head, but it's probably going to be accurate because they usually are accurate. I'm going to take Calgary with the six. I think that they're going to do it. I wasn't really impressed with much of anything Ottawa did. They kind of kept it sort of close against a Montreal team that no one's really high on either. I think Calgary should have a better game this week. So I am going to take the minus six. Adam, what do you like in this one?
Yeah, no, I like the Calgary Stampeders. I just, until they get a acupuncturist and a masseuse and everything all lined up and ready to go for Jeremiah Mazzoli's ankle, I could see a lot more losing coming out of the Ottawa Red Blacks. So, yeah, give me Calgary first and minus six.
Ryan?
Oh, and are we doing over-under first?
Or? I'll do it. I'll do the spread first, and then I'll do the over-under real quick. Ryan?
I'm going to go Ottawa plus six here. And quick, super quick story on that. Calgary for many years has been a dominant football team, but for some reason struggles when facing the Ottawa Red Blacks. And I think it was back in 2018, 2019, week one, I was the overall CFL pick'em winner for week one by going 4-0 that week as one of only people to take the Red Blacks to beat the Calgary Stampeders that week. And so I got to do it again. I got to stick with it based on history here. I don't think they're going to win Ottawa. I think Calgary to win, but by less than six.
Mike, you give us your thoughts, man, since you're here.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. You guys did see me nodding my head at Ryan. I wholeheartedly agree with that one. I think Ottawa finds a way to bring this one under a touchdown. I don't think they're going to win. But I mean, Calgary wins on a walk-off field goal.
All right. And over-under, this one's going to be tough, too, because a lot of teams didn't do very well last week in this. It's sitting at 44 points. I'm going to take the under. I think Calgary is going to win by the touchdown, but it's going to be kind of that 19-12 kind of game that we saw a couple of last week. So I'm taking the under. Let's go with Mike. Let's kick off with you. What do you think? Over-under 44 points in this one.
I have it at 47, at 27, 20-ish, something in that neighborhood.
You're taking the over? Okay. Ryan?
I hate the over-under. You got me. I finally learned the spread this year. You know,
you did good week one, man. You did good.
Good start with that, but the over-under, it messes with my brain because, I mean, Ottawa doesn't put a bunch of points on the board, so I'm starting to think the under there, but 44 seems like such a low total. Yeah, give me the over on this one, I think.
Over. And Adam, buddy, what negative $30 in the hole, man. You got not much to lose. What do you got on this one?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm following Trey because Trey seems to always make money. I'm going to go with the under on this one here because, yeah, I don't know if Ottawa can manage to get much more points than they did last week, and I don't know about my pick with Jake Maher this season. And yeah, it's starting to scare me a little bit. But that being said, yeah, no, we're going to go with the under on this one.
Just as you said that, I realized I went against Trey again and was like, oh, that's a mistake.
You know, hey, to be fair, I went 4-1 in UFC. I did okay in horses this weekend. You know, I'm the betting expert for a reason. Right?
Hey, you know, Mike just won his hockey pool on the Vegas Golden Knights, so I'm riding with Mike on the pick on this game.
He said that was a draft out of a hat, isn't it? That doesn't count.
Hey, wait till the farming props come in. Will it be over or under 50 bushels an acre this year?
Yeah.
Do we need to have a new segment called Crop Props?
Absolutely. That's a perfect idea. Now I'm going to have to make Crop Props.
Well, speaking of crops, let's go over to the prairies for our next game here, which is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. This one taking place, by the way, I forgot to mention Calgary, Ottawa, Thursday night, 7:30 Eastern time. Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, Friday, I believe 9 p.m. Eastern time in Saskatchewan. And normally not used to seeing these two teams until Labor Day, but early season matchup between them here. We went to Mike first last time. Let's go to you first this time. Adam, tell us everything going on with Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Oh, boy. Well, that could take a while here. You better tuck in. First things first. Will he, won't he? Maybe he will, maybe he won't. There has been, since 7 seconds left of the Edmonton Elks-Saskatchewan Rough Riders game, a little bit of controversy in Saskatchewan. First things first, why do you send your quarterback that doesn't know to really run too well? He doesn't do great on run-pass options. Why do you send him out there to get absolutely destroyed in the last 7 seconds of a game when you're clearly going to win it? Ask Craig Dickinson, because I don't think anybody can answer that question anywhere here. Trevor Harris is listed as questionable for this game. That really helps the Saskatchewan Rough Riders out a lot. But I guess if we have to, it'll be fine. Mason Fine, that is. He has been practicing a little bit with the ones. Trevor Harris has been practicing also. Not as much. He's been limited in practice as much as they want to say, oh, yeah, he's fine. He's fine. No problem. Don't look this way. He's fine. Well, they keep saying fine. Be aware that it could be Mason Fine starting this week over in Saskatchewan. The other part that I think is very dangerous for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders now is starting to become the injuries, especially in the defensive side of the football. Roland Milligan has not practiced this week yet. He is listed as questionable for this week. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at that one, and that's a big loss, especially for the way that he played last week over against Edmonton. The other injury that's a real big one is Nick Marshall, defensive back, also has not practiced this week. If he's hurt, and you've got Roland Milligan hurt, I mean, you could put the new hero, Jake DeBriel, in a little bit, but, I mean, you can't put him everywhere, and, yeah, I'm sure we're not playing a absolutely stacked Winnipeg receiving core this week that could possibly hurt a team with very few defensive options, especially in the secondary. Henderson had a good game last week, so he might be an option in there as well. They're going to have to do something, because if all of these guys are out there, it could be trouble in Saskatchewan. The other injury also to talk about is Derek Moncrief, linebacker. He's going to be hurt this week. He won't be playing. You've also got, Vedvik, he's the global punter. Don't think he'll be missed as much though. Adam Korzak had an amazing game against the Edmonton Elks. The old rugby kicker did it again. He looked very good out there. And also the other injury that's very interesting to talk about is Sam Emelis. He is, looked pretty good against the Edmonton Elks. However, he hasn't practiced all week as well. So that means there'll be another opening there. That's a Canadian spot. Possibly Mitchell Picton moving into there. We'll see how that goes. The other injury, and again, I'm sick of talking about injuries, but this is the big thing about the Rough Riders this week, is Darrell Walker has not practiced all week and has now been ruled out for Saturday or for Friday's tilt against the Bombers, which is a huge loss for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. However, I think there'll be somebody that Ryan will talk about in a few minutes. That might just fill in for Darrell Walker pretty well. Overall, Saskatchewan's done what they've said they wanted to do at the beginning of the year here. The offensive line only let out 2 sacks last game, so that's a huge improvement from last year. I mean, last year, Cody Fajardo was running for his life. Trevor Harris seems to be able to have been working well with the offensive line so far, even though it is a little bit, shift as Philip Blake. I think I talked about this earlier last week. He's gone for, well, very much probably the season with a torn pectoral muscle. They announced that officially this week as well. The other one also that they wanted to improve on was penalties for Saskatchewan. Only 37 yards of penalties last game. And you got to remember, two of those were 15-yard, no yards calls. So overall, Saskatchewan's done what they said they were going to go do. They were going to be more disciplined. They're going to be better on holding up defenses with the offensive line. They've done both of those very well so far, but they also haven't played the Winnipeg Blue Bombers yet. And the Blue Bombers are not the Edmonton Elks. Mike, why don't you tell us about the Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
Yeah, injury is the story here too. Most notably, in my mind, fullback Mike Miller, who missed last week's game. Was a late scratch on game day 3.5 hours before to drop. The other injury that kind of raises an eyebrow to me, although we shouldn't really be surprised at this point, Justin Jeffcoat. He did not practice all week. My only concern with this is in regards to the Blue Bombers pass rush, which to me was kind of a little bit lacking toward the end of that game against Hamilton. The depth on the Blue Bomber D-line isn't what it was, but the Blue Bombers went out and got some people to try to help with that, most notably Brad Mohammed from the Calgary Stampeders and another American, I think, who had the experience, the name escapes me, from the BC Lions to try to patch up the holes. There, Jonathan Jeffro to me would be the biggest concern. If the Bombers can't get any type of pressure on whoever the starter is for Saskatchewan, look for the linebackers to have to step up to have a big game as well. Because if you can't get pressure on whoever the quarterback is, then you have to play more man coverage, which in turn puts the linebackers in a bit of a state of flux slash pressure. It didn't hurt the Bombers last week as much, but the one thing I noticed is that their pass rush was a little bit tentative, maybe, compared to what we normally see with Justin Jeffcoat. The name escapes me there, but the kid got the game sealing sack for the Blue Bombers last week. That was really, really encouraging for me. Offensively, for the Bombers, all I can say is thank you for helping my fantasy team, Zach Talaros and Brady Oliveira. You know, for me, and this is just kind of what I see as interesting, I don't know how you can possibly pin your sort of expectations fantasy-wise on any Blue Bomber receiver just because they seem to spread the ball around a lot. I mean, obviously, Nick Dembski is a safe play given the amount that he touches the ball and Kenny Lawler, but, you know, the Drew Walatarski, Dalton Schoen, you know, those types of players, it's really going to be whoever's open gets the ball. And it's not this true one guy going to get 200 yards of receiving every week. So that would kind of be my caution against picking Blue Bomber receivers when you look at their statistics. Even Ayedi Dosie, I mean, he had the one catch last week and it was for 40-something yards to the Hamilton DB fell down. But other than that, it was pretty much spread out. Zach Talaros looked on. Some of the little things that concern me, ball management for the Bombers. Obviously, there was the third quarter where the game just about got out of hand as far as the comeback happened. They had the blocked punt, the fumble, and then the, I don't even know, ball popping up in the air and he runs back. So hang on to the ball. Put some sticky glue, security glue, whatever you want, on the football. That being said, my biggest concern from the Blue Bombers, as I said, is the D-line. How do they compensate for the loss of Justin Jeffcoat? Listen, I don't expect them to play this week. That's just my hunch in talking to a few people. But again, we've seen this before, right? A veteran player doesn't really need to practice all week to be able to play. But to me, he missed the back week of camp, missed one practice in the game leading up to Hamilton. So how does that work, right? And then still trying to figure out who fits where kind of thing. Another positive development for Blue Bomber fans, DeMario Houston, I thought he got picked apart in the preseason games. A little bit too much for my liking. He was able to settle in with a couple of interceptions. to really help the cause. And, you know, every good team needs to have a few good players that nobody really accounts for if they're going to want to be successful. So sort of the more of it doesn't change, the more of it stays the same. I think I read that every starter last week was with the Bombers last year. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
But again, you're going into a rivalry game. You're going into a possibility where I don't think this is going to happen where you take your opposition lightly. But something about rivalry games just makes me a little bit nervous.
It's a big one, of course, the rivalry games. You never know what's going to happen, and that makes making fantasy picks an interesting endeavor in these games. You kind of teed it up for me a little bit there already, Mike, so thank you for that. And when you were talking about the Bombers receivers, and it's hard to know who to take in fantasy because they spread the ball around so much there. So I'm tempted to stay away from most of them when it comes to fantasy in this game, but Nick Dembski finds a way every single time he plays the Saskatchewan Roughriders to have his best games of the season and make them pay for letting him go. He seems to deliver in those games. He's costly, $15,000 in fantasy. He's as expensive as it gets at wide receiver, but he did put up 23.3 points last week. He looked as good as ever, and always plays his best games against the Riders there. Other than that, staying away from any other Winnipeg Blue Bomber receivers, most likely. I do have Brady Oliveira as a player to watch. There's so many good, cheap value plays at running back that I think it puts him a little bit out of the equation for me this week, but because the price is so high at over 14K, but he did pile up 100 yards last week. He finally got involved in the receiving game with like 50 yards there and scored a touchdown, two things he didn't do very much of last season. So if he can continue to do that this year, I mean, he could become a fantasy superstar at running back. Over on the Saskatchewan side here, at running back, I've got Jamal Morrow as an interesting player to watch. Again, on the higher side, now that those depth charts came out and there's some cheaper value plays, I think your money's better spent elsewhere, perhaps. But he did put up 80 yards on the ground last week, Jamal Morrow. None through the air, which was a bit surprising. You would have to think the Riders are going to lean on him a little bit more if Trevor Harris is out or injured with Mason Fine in there. I kind of like Jamal Morrow, especially since Hamilton. I mean, James Butler was the best thing Hamilton's offense had going for them last week against Winnipeg. So they could replicate that with Morrow. I think there could be some success there for Saskatchewan. No Darrell Walker. He was going to be a player to watch for me because he, like Nick Dembski, also plays really well against the Bombers normally. But Sean Bain was an interesting value play coming into the year for me. Last week, 10 targets for him, becoming an integral piece of that Saskatchewan offense. Also got involved in the running game a little bit too. I think he's a breakout player. He's $8,000. A little bit on the cheaper side for fantasy. I think he could be a good value play there for you. And I do also have the Bombers defense as a player, a fantasy player to watch this week because they look fantastic against the Ticats last week. Couple turnovers, couple sacks. You like to see that. And if Mason Fine is starting or Trevor Harris is injured and some injuries on the offensive line for the Riders, the Bombers defense could have a very productive day. So those are your five fantasy players to watch in this game from me. Let's go to you here first, Trey. Who's your notable fantasy player in Winnipeg, Saskatchewan?
You know, it's tough because I agree with a lot what Mike said earlier. It's kind of hard to go with anybody. I do have Dalton Schoen just because I think he is that guy who could get a player to – He only needs the ball once or twice to get a couple 80-yard catches for a touchdown here and there. So that's kind of all I got. So I do like your strong defense pick, though, too, Ryan. I don't have that, but I like that. Yeah.
Just ask Geno Lewis about that.
Yeah, he had the big 100-yard touchdown, which was what, like 20 fantasy points on one play or something like that? 17, I think. I'm sure you liked that last week, Mike. In this game, let's go to you, Mike. Who's a fantasy player you're watching in this one? Mike.
Obviously, Zach Collaros for me. for the Bombers. If he didn't put up that amount of yards and a half, lots of points. The only caution is that it might come at the expense of some other cheaper, more valuable options later on in the season if that salary becomes a little bit too much for the books. If he keeps lighting it up, you might have to kind of split the difference with some other people. But for now, my number one play would be Zach Collaus or Brady Oliveira, maybe even the Bomber defense. I really like that Bane Jr. as well for Saskatchewan. Was contemplating picking him up in our pool this week, but I decided against it for now.
All right, Adam, what about you?
There's two guys that I'm looking at here. He's very expensive, and I'm not sure if I should take him, but he always seems to get a touchdown whenever he plays the Riders or just anytime he almost plays lately. It's Rashid Bailey. I really like him. He 12.4K, he's expensive, but he gets that one touchdown for you. That's usually he averages about 15, 16 points a game. I kind of like him for my fantasy right now. I'm debating about picking him, but I think there's also some cheaper options that are probably a little bit better as well. The Sean Bain Jr. one, I really like. I want to probably try to get him on the roster for the Rough Riders. The other option that I had was going to be a little bit insane, and I think it's more of I want to see what the depth chart looks like tomorrow. But if there's a chance that Trevor Harris is not playing, I might just throw Mason Fine in my quarterback spot and really take some receivers this week. We'll see how this goes because I don't know. I got a bad feeling that Trevor Harris is hurt a little worse than Craig Dickinson's. Oh, he's fine. So every time he says fine, I think Mason's coming in. So let's go with that. But yeah, there's a chance I still might switch my fantasy right up and pick up Mason Fine.
And I hope he performs fine for you. All right, let's go into the betting picks in this one. Take it away, Trey.
You know what? I don't care what your graphic says. It changed. It's now at 6.5. So we're going 6.5, boys. I think that's fair because I noticed it before and my ADHD OCD would not allow me to do 6. So 6.5 minus 6.5, the road favorite Winnipeg Blue Bombers. You know, this one's tough because rivalry game on the road, Saskatchewan's quarterback in doubt. I mean, we've also had the Bombers had a backup quarterback play a few years ago, and the game was still pretty close. You know, now guy backing up for Aaron Rodgers, right? So it's a tough one. 6.5, I'm going to take the Bombers hesitantly, but I'm going to take them. Let's go with Adam, because since you're wearing all green, man, who do you got?
I don't know if you guys remember the speech that Mark Trestman gave in 2008 in the Grey Cup game, just before they went out and played the Montreal Alouettes. Or no, they played the Calgary Stampeders. I think it went along. It was John Huffnagel that gave the right speech there. Sorry. On that side, he pretty much said, look, we're playing in Montreal against Montreal in the Grey Cup. We have guys that are hurt. They've got all their guys. They're ready to go. Gentlemen, we got them right where we want them. Pretty much that's what I think is going to happen this week, and I'm going to take the Saskatchewan Rough Riders because I'm a crazy son of a gun. Even though there is a chance that the Rough Riders' defensive backs are all hurt, Nick Marshall and in Roland Milligan, even though Trevor Harris might be hurt, even though we don't have Darrell Walker or possibly Sam Emelis, it's rivalry week. The score doesn't matter. They just come out there to go and beat each other up. I'll be sitting there and watching it. Give me the Rough Riders.
Ryan, who you got?
Well, you know, I'm looking at these two teams, and I think I'm going to go with the team that makes Mosaic Stadium its home. So I'm taking the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at -6.5. It's not scary playing in Regina for the Bombers anymore, it seems. I mean, we get a couple wacky games, but they've had some good success there lately. I mean, the biggest reason for me is all the injuries you've mentioned there. But that game against Hamilton last week would not have been close besides those three weird plays for the Bombers. It would have been a win by 20, win by 30 for them there. They look dominant across the board besides a couple small gaffes. I can't see something weird like that happening 2 weeks in a row, but it seems they find a way to make it more difficult on themselves. I think the Bombers can win this one by at least a touchdown.
Mikey, what do you got, buddy?
I take the Bombers to win, but I don't like the line at 6.5. I'm going Bombers by 4.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
So I'm going right
into the parade.
I'm going Saskatchewan plus 6.5.
Saskatchewan to cover. Okay. I got you. And real quick, over under 47 points. Mike, what do you got?
Under.
I guess I should have went first. I'll let you guys go first this time, Ryan.
Well, last week I took the under on the Bombers and they almost hit the over all by themselves. So I think I'm going to take the over in this one. I think there is a potential for some high scoring affair here.
Adam, are you going to take the over and have a beer a point on Friday night or what?
Pretty much, eh? No, I'm going to take the over, but I think I'll avoid that much beer.
I think
it's too expensive. $9 craft beer is just too much.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm going to take the over too. I think even though the Bombers could win this by a touchdown, it's going to be these two teams could be 25-25 at halftime kind of thing, right? How these, even with a third string quarterback playing for both teams, it could be. So that's the way I like it. So yeah, good stuff. Yeah, we're all over the board here. I'm liking it. I don't like when we agree. I don't like it.
I don't like when I disagree with you, but
this time we're 2 for 2, aren't we? Yeah, we're the same. This game.
All right, there we go. All right, let's move on to our next game here. I think we've got the Edmonton Elks in BC to face the Lions here. Seems like it's going to be a pretty darn big crowd over in BC from what I hear. Saturday, June 17th, 7 p.m. Eastern time is the start for this one. Let's go to Mike first to tell us all about the BC Lions in this matchup this week.
First thing that amazed me about week one, no Nathan Ward, no problem. I think we're finally starting to see what Vernon Adams, excuse me, granted it's one game, is capable of. And I want to see the follow-up. Now we have to start putting games together of some consistency. Of note, the BC Lions canceled practice today because one of their players suffered a medical emergency. All the best to him. On the injury front, the more significant injury that I was able to ascertain would be Tion Hatcher still on the sixth game. But it didn't really hurt them last week. I want to see what they can do as a follow-up. Running the ball, Mizell looked pretty good. Another option that I was thinking about in fantasy this week might be an interesting play this week. I don't know if Ryan will have something to say about that later on or not. Stay tuned. But I do really, really like Armand Simic as the offensive coordinator. He seems to bring out the best in a lot of his quarterback. And I think we're going to finally start to see that potential in VA, like I already said. I think a lot of people are disrespecting the BC defense. To hold Calgary to 15 points at McMahon on opening night, you know, it's not easy to do in the best of places, no matter, you know, Calgary, Winnipeg, whatever. But there's a real sort of chance here, if you will, that BC could, and I stress could, set up a battle for first place in week number 3 because BC makes the trip to Winnipeg. But first things first, not really surprised BC won that game. Now the trick is, can BC follow it up? Will BC be forced out of their comfort zone in this game? And what I mean by that is, big crowd, home opener, concert, all the sort of bells and whistles that come with that. Are they going to be forced to play entertainer? And does that lead to a couple of sort of interceptions at bad times? Or can they stay within themselves? I will refrain from giving my pitch at the minute. Adam, you will be talking about the visitors on Saturday.
Well, I for sure love to do a Chris Jones accent right here and say we just got a cheap cop in Wood, but you know what? I won't. It's the Edmonton Elks, and you know, there was two things I looked at this week, I think, when I was looking at the Edmonton Elks last week. One, I don't have this on my list, but Geno Lewis, I know, Chris, you mentioned him in the chat. Is he a fluke or a ringer? Well, he had a little bit of both last week. First things first, he had a ball that should have been a touchdown. He dropped it right off the bat. And I know on the CKRM, on the Regina broadcast, because I was listening in the sprayer, they went and they said, he's getting paid way too much money to be dropping balls like that. And immediately, right after that, Edmonton ends up getting the ball on the 6-5 yard line, and Geno Lewis runs back for 108 yards. So, you know what? The jury's still out, I think, on if he's going to be a fluke in Edmonton or if he's going to be a ringer in Edmonton. To me, he's Geno Lewis. He had the most yards last season. He was one of the top receivers last season. He's going to be a good receiver. He's got other guys that will help him, though, in this. And that's where I'm going to get into this. Taylor Cornelius, he needs to be looking up the field a little bit more instead of maybe trying for just a quick pass out, or like he was trying last week for some reason against Saskatchewan, looking like a deer in the headlights and trying to run. Big guy trying to run is not the overly most fun to watch, especially if you took Taylor Cornelius in fantasy. Yeah, I don't know who I'm talking about on that, myself included. Nevertheless, he's got the pieces around him. He's got Dylan Mitchell. He's going to have some success no matter what. Manny Arsenal even caught a few balls last week, and I think he just needs to get some more consistency built, more with his receiving core. It's way too early to pull the plug on Taylor Cornelius. I know there was a few people saying, geez, this looks bad, we should get rid of him. No, what are you doing in Edmonton? It's not that bad. The world's not coming to an end. You had a goal line, you're a goal line stand away from winning a game. Don't worry about it. The other part is Kevin Brown. He did not have the biggest of games against the Saskatchewan Roughriders last week. But I'll be honest, I think the Saskatchewan Roughriders defensive line is probably a little bit better than the BC Lions defensive line. Not saying the BC Lions have a bad defensive line. They have an okay one. But I think it could be run against. And this could be the game that you can really see some big yardage out of Kevin Brown. We'll see what happens here. I'm sure that Edmonton has a bitter taste in their mouth after last year when they went into BC and absolutely got spanked twice. So I'm sure they're going to remember that a little bit, and probably they're going to probably want to go and maybe push the ball down BC's throat just a little bit. Notable injury for the Edmonton Elks. Lucchese Purifoy, he missed the first practice, was full on the second one. Fully there and participating. It's a dental appointment, I think. So he'll be fine. Don't worry about that one. He might even be angry and make a few interceptions because he had a sore tooth. I'm sure that's what it was about. Anyways, nevertheless, you also had Enoch McConzo. He will be questionable, I think, in this one. He had something wrong with his knee, it said, on the injury list. He didn't practice in the first game. First day of practice, second day he did. Be maybe a little more questionable, but if he's playing, he's fine. Edmonton still got their big defensive line led by Jake Ceresna. I think the Edmonton Elks will be fine this week, especially, like I say, you got AC Leonard, you got all those guys, you're healthy. The defensive line should be okay. I think they're going to try to make that bad Vernon appear again. We'll see if that happens. And if it does, well, it could be a long night for the BC Lions facing the Edmonton Elks. With that being said, though, what are you thinking on fantasy here, Ryan? I'm sure I mentioned a couple of the guys you were talking about.
I have a quick question, just real quick, because I was listening to you. I'm kind of leaning towards the – I'm not a big Cornelius guy. Maybe this is towards Ryan, because, Ryan, you're a big Corn guy, right? Like, how long – like, what do you see in him? And maybe you could touch about it with your fan. I know you don't have him on your fantasy notes, but what do you honestly see in that guy?
The rushing ability from the fantasy perspective. I mean, last year he had over 500 yards rushing, 7 touchdowns, was one of the top rushing quarterbacks in the CFL, if not the top, was almost as good as a running back. And that's the key to fantasy, is a mobile quarterback and a guy that can hit the big plays.
I want to believe in him. I just don't see him as a CFL quarterback. And when I have, you know, and I know people, you know, Twitter can be one thing, but when I have a buddy who doesn't really watch the CFL texting me, why the hell is this guy the starting quarterback for the Edmonton Elks? You know, that kind of makes me raise my eyes when guys who don't even know, like, overly care about the CFL are questioning this guy. And when I told him he got paid 300 and some thousand a year, he didn't believe me. And I had to go throw him the Three Down Nation report that said it. So, you know, like, it, I just don't see the guy. But we won't have to spend too much time on it because I know we got a lot. But
just a follow-up to that, like, I don't mean to pile on, but I see what Trey's saying. Like, for a guy, and again, I think we have to be very careful to put one game into this kind of spiel as the starter. But for me, I expected a little bit better for a guy that had a full offseason to know that he's the number one guy. Like, listen, if you take out the main play to Geno Lewis, he probably has a 100-yard game, give or take a few extra yards. And unfortunately, that's just not going to get the job done in the CFL. So, but then again, we brought this up a couple weeks ago, at least when I was here, or maybe on a podcast, but I was listening back to you guys on, when has Chris Jones actually had a quarterback that can throw for 300 yards and take some pressure off that defense? So, again, I question Taylor Cornelius, but it's too early to say yes, he needs to be pulled, because as we've seen, the two guys behind him, not necessarily gonna come in and light everything up. So he might be the best available option for the moment.
I also think he like, yeah, he still has things to work on with the completion percentages, accuracy for sure. I think he took some strides forward last year, and I'm kind of, you know, was projecting further strides forward this year, and we'll see if we get that from him. You know, also we talk about his week one performance as we get into fantasy here. The sad state of affairs of week one in the CFL is we're touching on it being a bad week for him. He was the fourth highest scoring quarterback at 9.4 points on the week. So if you weren't Zach Caleros, Vernon Adams Jr., or Cody Fajardo, you had finished under 10 points as a quarterback in fantasy last week. So nobody had a good week one. We'll see who has a good week number two. And, you know, it's hard to trust a lot of these quarterbacks right now, which means Vernon Adams Jr. is a fantasy player to watch for me. Huge week. Started 8 for 8 last week. Great couple drives. Piled on touchdowns there early on. Seemed like we got some shades of what we've seen from him and his good play in the past. And I really like that. So I think he's one of the top quarterback options for this week at $15,000. Also, his number one go-to guy, Dominic Rhymes. I mean, his stat line was a dream last week. 13 targets, 8 catches, over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. You literally can't ask for much more. A 30-point week last week, and picking up right where he left off last season. So if you can afford him, I think Rhymes is one of those guys that you want potentially in your lineup and you want to potentially give your fantasy captaincy to this week. And if you can't afford Dominic Rhymes, I think there's a very intriguing cheaper option in the BC Lions wide receiver core, which is wide receiver Alexander Hollins. He comes in at $9,000, 6 targets, 6 catches last week. Came on strong at the end of the 2022 season. I know, Adam, you're pretty high on him as well. And with Keon Hatcher out, he's only going to get more of a role in that offense over the next 6 weeks. And, you know, if you don't want to pay up for Rhymes or Lucky Whitehead, for example, could be a good cheaper option there. And then I want to touch on the running backs for both sides. Kevin Brown was a disappointment last week, was expecting big things from him. He comes in at just over $12,000. I think Adam maybe already mentioned it here that You know, BC is stacked in the defensive backfield. It looks formidable there. Their defensive line, I'm not as scared about that. So, you know, if the passing game is going tough for the Elks, maybe we get a little more play from Kevin Brown here. Also, Edmonton, can we just be real for 1 second here? When you get down to the goal line this week, hand the ball off to Kevin Brown. Do not try the QB sneak and fail 3 times in a row yet again. This is where you rely on a guy like Brown. Hopefully that gets remedied this week. And then on the other side, Taquan Mizell was a good cheap value play for anybody who picked him last week. He comes in at $9,100 this week. And in week one, he had a 6.8 rushing yard average and also piled on 3 receptions. So, you know, he's cheaper than some of those guys at the 12,000 mark and above. So if you're looking to save a bit of cash, maybe he's an option for you against an Elks team that gave up quite a few rushing yards last week. Let's go to Adam first here. Who's your fantasy player to watch in this game?
Well, you picked it out of me again. It's Alexander Hollins. I mean, he's a reasonable enough price. I mean, in mine, I think I figured out a way of affording Dominic Rhymes, and I'm going to take it because, yeah, he's been the dominant guy for the BC Lions, and possibly without Lucky Whitehead on the other side of him, who hasn't practiced this week yet, I think that would be a pretty good option, is to try to take Dominic Rhymes. But if he can't, Alexander Hollins looks like a pretty good number two choice and is very reasonable in price. On the Elk side, I think maybe Kevin Brown. He's got to go off one of these games, and I think this could be it. Dylan Mitchell has actually gone down in price too, though, so just keep that in mind as well.
What was up with that last week, real quick? Dylan Mitchell had one catch for -5 yards and nothing else. I thought he got injured, but did he not actually still play the whole game and just got nothing?
He just was absolutely manhandled and dominated over by on the one side there by either they were bringing the safety over to cover him and they were doing a bunch of stuff to mess with him. And yeah, the Riders did a great job of blocking him up. But they also let Eugene Lewis go for 100.
He's not in my five players to watch, but there's no way Mitchell's that quiet for 2 straight weeks, you would think. Mike, what about you? Who's your fantasy player to watch in this game?
This might be a scary play, but I'm looking at the Elks defense. Follow me up with a pretty good performance against Saskatchewan, all things considered. Maybe you could actually get in the end zone and your team would be 1-0. But other than that, this is a measuring stick for what we have been told is an improved Edmonton Elks defense. Time for them to go out and prove it.
As we're talking about the defense here, I want to make one quick note that might not be apparently obvious to people in terms of fantasy. Defensive touchdowns don't count for points in this new system. So if you picked the Ticats defense last week thinking you're getting 20-something points out of them, they scored you 5. Similarly, return yards do not count. So if you're picking a guy who's involved as a returner, that does also not count. I don't know why they changed that this year.
Don't worry, I seen that with Chandler Worthy last week. That hurt.
Can I write an appeal to the CFL office?
Yeah, I've got a whole stack of papers to send along with yours, Mike. Trey, what about you?
BC, I got Hollins now. Edmonton, not a damn person. I don't care. I want Cornelius to be better, but I can't put him as my quarterback.
Fair enough.
But yeah, Adam disappeared, but we can go into betting, I guess. Adam can just go last here. -7, the home team BC leads off with who's their half? Cool J or whatever is the halftime show, whatever it is.
Yeah, Cool J.
LL Cool J, cool stuff. This was a big – I hate these spreads. The first 3 games are massive, and then the 4th one, which we'll talk about later, is dumb too. You know what? I think I'm going to go with BC by the touchdown, and it's going to be crazy, and I've taken 3 straight favorites with big spreads, and that is my number one rule no-no, and I'm going to break it, and I'm going to go with BC. And we're going to go real quick here with the over-under is 46. Eesh. Can I take? I don't know. I'm going to take under. So I'm taking BC and under. Ryan, what do you got?
Can I request to go last here? Because I've got a mind-blowing stat to throw out for you.
Mike, you go.
Sorry, BC over.
BC over.
Yep, I think BC could put up a lot of points here in this one. I think Edmonton can match them punch for punch as long as Canarias puts some balls in the area toward of his receivers.
Okay. Adam, what do you got?
I'm going to say this the most fun way that I can because it's LL Cool J. Going to be doing the pregame show. Mama said knock you out, so I'm going to knock you out. Yeah, no, I think the BC Lions are going to win this one. They're going to knock out the Edmonton Elks over 7. I don't know about the over-under, though. That is a tough one. I'm going to go with the under, I think, on this one, just because, I don't know. BC could absolutely blow the Edmonton Elks out of the water, or they're going to beat them by more than 7 and just kind of beat, like, by 9 or 10. I don't know if they're going to blow them out this time, so I'm going to go with the under.
Ryan, let's hear your stats here, Mr. New Betting Expert Guy.
All right, I know Nathan Rourke is not the QB in BC anymore, and he was a large factor in this. But, guys, the last 4 times the Lions have played the Edmonton Elks, they have outscored them by a combined 179-53, including wins of 59-15, 46-14, 31-14, and 43-10. The Lions are packing the house in this game. They play their best at home. Give me BC by at least 7 here, so I'll take the Lions to cover. And, I don't want to go over for 3 straight games because the offense was so poor in week 1, but I think this is going to be over this total. Yeah, I got to go the over here.
Ryan knows better than the odds makers. I love it. Let's go.
I don't know about that. But.
Well, my concern is that's a great stat. But the one glaring big missing thing that you said, right, is Rourke. Is Vernon Adams? Vernon Adams is good. I just don't know. Is he gonna outscore Edmonton 150-50 or whatever you said it was, something like that? So I don't know, but we'll see.
I could be wrong. I believe VA may have been the quarterback for the last one of those because it was like last season.
You're right.
The other one also that I was going to mention is how many times was Dylan Mitchell, Kevin Brown, or Geno Lewis involved in any of those games in the last times they played BC? I don't think any of them were they?
Yeah, and I'm not expecting it to be a 30-40 point win this time. Let's be clear on that. I just think history is on the side here. I also think the Lions are just looking like the better team after week 1. So, you know, 7 points, yeah, it's a touchdown. I'm not too scared about that line. So
we all took BC by 7, so that's kind of weird that we all agree.
Yeah, all 4 of us even. All right, let's get into our final game of the week here. It is the one you're going to, Trey, the Hamilton Tigercats in Toronto to face the Argos.
Give me that ring.
Argos first game of the year, raising the championship banner, I believe, here in this one. This takes place Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Let's talk about their opponent, though, the Hamilton Tigercats first. Adam, tell us what are you looking at here for Hamilton this week?
Whatever they did in Winnipeg, just burn the tape, go and make sure that the ashes are spread across all the way back from Winnipeg, and never look at that tape again, because that was brutal for the Hamilton Tigercats, especially the first half. Their defensive secondary just collapsed against well, I mean, don't get me wrong. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers have one of the best receiving corps there is, but you can't be that bad against a defense or against an offense. I don't care. There is no excuses for that. I think the biggest thing Hamilton fans are going to be watching for this week, if they aren't going to the game in Toronto, which a lot of them do, they're going to be watching the play, of course, of Bo Levi Mitchell. He is supposed to be the savior. All eyes are on him. he was supposed to lead them for a road victory in Winnipeg and show that they're back and they're ready to take the Grey Cup and win it at home this year. Yeah, about that. Hasn't happened yet. I don't know. I'm almost thinking that there should be almost a side thing on any Hamilton game when Trey does betting. Does Bo Levi Mitchell get pulled in this game? Yes or no? And see how many times we can get this right or wrong, because honestly, he looked terrible. You know what? He had his arm strength back. I'll give him that. He has his shoulder probably where he needs to have it. But other than that, yikes. The ball was either overthrown, underthrown, thrown all the way to Houston. No pun intended. It was just a bad game for Bo Levi Mitchell, no matter which way you look at it. He was doing the right things on the bench, though. I'll give him that. He was trying to walk through with his receivers what he was seeing out there. And it's going to take him time to get used to some of these new receivers. I mean, the only real guy that he probably really has still there with him, I mean, he has Richardson Danny with him from last year. Other than that, I mean, Duke Williams is new. Tim White is new. Tim White, got to give him credit as well. Did have a decent game. I'm sure that Ryan will be talking about him a little later on. Just overall, again, just got to get him on track with Bo Levi Mitchell. Another one that I could probably talk a little bit about would be Terry Godwin. Actually had not a bad game overall considering. But again, if he gets hit by Bo Levi Mitchell and Bo can hit him right on the money, he might walk in for touchdowns. So it's all on Bo. If he can make some plays, good on him. One thing also is I'm still wondering if anybody has had any hostage notes or anything on the guy that stole Tommy Condell. James Butler actually had some running yards last week. So I'm guessing Condell's hijacked by Ticat fans. So to make sure that he is able to run the ball a little bit there. Not a bad week there for James Butler as well. The other one that I'm looking at is, again, that secondary of Hamilton. It just did not look right last week. The defensive line didn't look great. I mean, Oliveira got over 100 yards. It's just a very bad week on defense. I'm wondering if age is maybe catching Hamilton a little bit here. They do have one of the older defenses, I believe, in the league, if I'm not mistaken. So he could be catching them up maybe a little bit here. Overall, though, should be a pretty fun game. It's a rivalry game again, just like the Riders and the Bombers, the Ticats and the Argos. Those games get ugly and they get pretty fun and feisty, especially with felines in it. We'll see how the Ticats do this week. They got to have an answer, though, and a bounce back week for sure. Mike, I guess you get to talk about the team that hasn't played yet this year.
Yeah, and they have a whole bunch of mystery bots. And what are you going to open up and what are you going to find? Well, let's get into my mystery bots. And the first thing that I pull out is a brand new quarterback. Well, not a brand new quarterback per se, but a quarterback that won the Grey Cup for his team. And a quarterback that is brand new as far as the realm of starting. So what does he have to offer? And nobody overreacts after a loss to a rival, right? Right, guys?
Well, Chicken Little, the sky is falling.
No, I mean, we're planning the Grey Cup parade if we win this one, but no.
In all seriousness, Ryan, this is going to be about knocking off the rust for Toronto. They had the first week bye. You know, I like AJ Rolada, the running back spelled off by Andrew Harris. The most outstanding Canadian in the East starts his campaign this week. Curly Dittons Jr. You know, there's a lot to like. But I keep telling myself, I will not overreact to this game. I will not overreact to this game. I will not overreact to this game. Because These two teams are destined for a lot of battles this year. This is the way I see the East shaking down. Round one of the boxing match of Ontario, so to say. The other thing is the Toronto defense for me. There are some questions here. Most notably, Chris Edwards, does he make some friends on the other side? And how does that factor in? I mean, you might as well call this Labor Day. I don't know what you'd call it. Pre-Labor Day rivalry weekend with Bombers playing the Riders. And I don't understand this from the CFL. But that being said, rightly or wrongly, there will be pressure on Chad Kelly. Either he wins the game and is the hero, or everybody's questioning, where's McLeod Bethel Thompson when you need him? Toronto fans, you have a good football team regardless what happens. Hamilton hosting the Grey Cup. It might be tit-tot if you lose this game, because 0-2 won't sit well with friends that I know in Tigertown. Granted, you are in the East, but still a lot of questions for very different reasons for both these teams. Ooh. Both say they're primed to go to the Grey Cup. So let's fire up a close football game and let's get in front of that TV on Sunday night.
All right. And when we're in front of that TV, here's a couple fantasy players to watch in this game. I'm so happy to have the Argos off the bye week this week, because there are some very intriguing fantasy options. And Chad Kelly is most definitely one of them at $10,300. He's got mobile ability, a heck of a lot of hype, and faces a Ticats defense that looked like Swiss cheese last week. Zach Caleros has thrown for over 300 yards, I think, three times in the last 2 years, and had that almost in a half against that Ticats defense. They forced some good turnovers. I give him credit for that, but I think, you know, this is a good starting point for Chad Kelly. And am I expecting a massive passing performance? No, but I think he's a cheaper option kind of at quarterback and can put up a modest passing total with some good rushing ability. And that makes him a decent fantasy player to me, at a minimum. I also really like that Toronto defense. Bo Levi Mitchell could not hit his deep ball if his life depended on it last week. Bo, that offense did not look good. I don't think Bo's got it anymore. I've been very clear about that, you know, in our offseason shows and so far this season. He's going to hit that deep ball once or twice here or there, but if you're that's what your main thing you're trying, it's going to come incomplete more often than not. I also think the Argos have the best defense in the CFL. That is the biggest underlying factor here. I know they're expensive. It's scary to spend $11,000 on a defense in fantasy. But I think this is a team that can put up points and numbers on their defensive side of the ball. And if you're going to go with the Argos defense and need a real cheap value play to supplement it, perhaps you can take a look at wide receiver Cam Phillips. We haven't seen any depth charts for the Argos yet, so interested to see how they line up at receiver this year. But Phillips did put up over 500 yards last season, and only $3,000 this year. If he's in the starting lineup, I think that's an absolute steal there when a lot of players are pretty expensive now. Now let's go over to the Ticats side. A couple wide receivers to watch there. I'm sticking with two guys I mentioned last week as well. Tim White is expensive. He's $15,000, top of the class, just like Nick Dembski and Dominic Rhymes. You know, the things I just said about that Ticats offense and Bo Levi Mitchell. Well, Tim White, despite that, still put up 17.1 points last week, despite the bad day from the offense. He had 10 targets. A lot of them seemed like they were deep balls. Only four of them landed in his hands. But again, if they connect on one or two more of those, you're looking at probably a 20-plus point week from Tim White. So intriguing potential option there. And once again, if you're looking for a cheaper play here, Terry Godwin at 5,400 did get five targets last week. Didn't amount to too much, but again, if Bode can just hit him on a couple more of those passes, pretty good for a cheap price there. So those are your five fantasy players to watch, Hamilton and Toronto. Mike, do you have a fantasy player to watch in this game?
Yeah, to me, it's the quarterbacks. Can one bounce back and can one start the campaign that everybody's expecting? Only one way to find out, and that's throw them right into the pressure cooker. Part of me, part of me wants to know exactly what was discussed earlier. The likelihood of Bull finishing this game if things go very, very badly. That being said, I think we're about to see if Winnipeg is that good defensively that they force Bo to overthrow a couple of times. Because realistically, if a couple of those are caught, Bo has a 250-yard game, and we're not even having this discussion. Can Hamilton continue to run the ball to help Bo? I thought that was kind of their saving grace last week when they started making a rally, was that they somehow managed to find a running game. And I think, to be honest, it's not a fantasy. It's not a fantasy option for me, but it's more a point that I think streams obvious. Don't fall behind 27-4. You know, that might sound like a broken record, but it's true. You can't really do anything when you do up touchdowns on three straight drives after really what looked like they were going to really take control. They kind of let the Bombers off the mat last week a little bit. I thought they were going to, you know, go up 10. And then that's, you know, the Bombers turn around and roll 21 before everybody knows what happens. So not all hope is lost. But I'm really, really watching both quarterbacks. I know it sounds like they're both in record. I'm not sold on both of them yet. Somebody is going to make me a believer at least for a week in this one.
All right, let's go to you here next. Trey, you'll be live in the stands there. Who will you be watching very closely out there on the field? I think I might have an idea.
Obviously, the number one quarterback in the CFL in Chad Kelly. Obviously, I got the Toronto Argonauts defense. And I've got the only guy who probably has a sicker beard than me and AJ Olet. Those are my three picks. Hamilton, not a damn person as well. But hey, if anyone in the chat is at the game, I don't care if you're a Ticat fan or an Argo game, you can buy me a beer. I don't care. I'll meet you up at the, I don't know if they have a rum hut or whatever they have. You can buy me that.
All right. Sounds good. You mentioned AJ Olet. That was a guy that almost made it into my five players to watch. I think, and probably will be going forward. I just want to see that time split with Andrew Harris, what that looks like early on. I think he should get the ball the most, though. I hope he does.
FM fam fan, I'm the only Blue Bomber fan there, man. So I'll be sticking out like a sore thumb. So if you see me, come say hi, man.
If you see a Bomber a fan in a Bomber jersey wearing a Rider hat, it's Trey.
I'm not taking the Rider hat. You see some Bomber fan wearing with red hair, like really pink hair now. That's me.
See, if you wore the Rider hat, you guaranteed make TSN.
I know I would, but I don't want to be on TSN wearing a Rider hat. No one around here will let me forget that.
See, you wouldn't make it on TSN because there would be, you know, they'd be busy with an in-game interview. Adam, what about you for your fantasy player to watch?
I'm going to take Matthew Shelton. I was almost going to say that just to be a mean guy, but you know what? Maybe Bo Levi Mitchell will have a great game. He's just too expensive for fantasy. How could you ever take a chance at 11,300 on Bo Levi Mitchell? I mean, sorry, but Chad Kelly looks interesting at 10.3. He's a little bit cheaper than some. So he's either going to have a great game or he's going to have a poor game. So you're rolling your dice a little bit with Chad Kelly, but might be an option there. The other one also that I was looking at, if I could pull up his name here right quick. By the way, Matthew Shields, 5,500. I mean, cheap if he makes it in for the second half. No, I'm kidding. Don't
be. I made that joke before the show. Stolen material here, Adam.
Absolutely, because you know what? I didn't see the copyright infringement. Anyways,
doesn't this guy do everything for Manitoba? Like,
don't you guys take our guys from Saskatchewan?
And Nick Dembski, University of Manitoba graduate.
He who drafts first gets him first. Ask our other fantasy draft guys. Anyways, nevertheless, let's just go with Chad Kelly on this one here. Curly Gittens Jr. would be a good one as well, but just expensive. I mean, he might have a great game. I don't know if he's going to have that great of a game yet. So I might take Chad Kelly though. We'll see.
He was also Curley Gittens Jr. also, I believe, was injured in training camp and preseason a little bit. So that made me slightly skeptical in week one as well, but should be the Argos top receiver this year. And we move over into our betting picks for this one. An interesting line on this game, isn't it, Trey?
Man, this one opened up with Toronto -2. And I know there's a lot of smoke out there, but did Julian and Ricky's plants get on fire? And is that what everyone in Hamilton's been inhaling? Why is it switched now to Hamilton -2 is beyond me. The late John Candy is looking down on his team, telling him to feel the rhythm, feel the beat. You know, it's cool runnings, man. It's going to be Toronto outright winning, but I'll take the +2 hands down in this one with an over-under of 46.5. Boys, I think it's going to be over 46.5. Let's, Mike, I want to see Mike because he's just covering his face.
No, I 100% agree. I think we're in for the highest scoring game of the week because both somehow find some offense. I like Toronto, and I'm going to go with that too. I agree that's going to be kind of what I'm thinking here as far as scoreline goes. I'm going over 46.5 if I wasn't clear already.
So Trey and Mike agree. That we don't do that often.
Get the momentum to Cajun. Make the plot, everybody. Put us in the center of the screen. 10:59 p.m. on June 14th. Trey and Mike agree on something.
Oh, where did everyone go? Did you guys just leave my screen, or is that me?
That was on purpose. Mike said put you two in the center of the screen.
Oh, okay, because I was Cape. Okay. I swear to God, I've had none of the lettuce tonight, boys, but that messed me up. I was like, where did everyone go? I'm charging my battery for the flight tomorrow, so I haven't had nothing.
Don't worry, guys. Trey and Mike agreed on something, didn't they, everybody?
And don't worry, guys. I put it in the timestamp so you can find the moment that Mike and Trey agreed on one thing.
Perfect. Okay. Perfect.
Adam, what do you got, buddy?
You know what this game is going to be. And I'm sorry right now, FM fan. You're probably going to hate me in about 20 seconds because the Toronto Argonauts are going to make this a cakewalk. They just got Jamal Peters back, guys. I mean, that's a huge piece for their defense. They've got McManus. They've got so many pieces in that defense. I just don't see. Henock Mwamba might be questionable. They've got like three other linebackers that they could put in there. So, in all honesty, I just can't see Toronto losing this one unless Chad Kelly really lays an egg. But if anything was like the preseason, he's going to have a great game. Give me the Argonauts. Plus, you can probably give me up to even up to +9, +10. I'd probably take him maybe. And I will take the over in this game because I think in the end, first half's going to be all Toronto. And then I think probably Hamilton is going to come back a little bit as Toronto probably puts their foot off the throat for a few seconds. And then Toronto goes right back at it. So, no, it's Toronto and then the over.
I don't know how this line – sorry, I'm next, right? I think I'm next.
You're the only one, buddy.
Yeah. I don't know how this line started off with the Argos as the favorite and shifted to Hamilton as the favorite after what we saw last week.
I honestly think there's a lot of people like FM fan. I think that's the only way there is. There's a lot of people who are betting Hamilton. Like, that's the only way it would shift, right?
And I get that to an extent that Hamilton did add a bunch of good pieces in the offseason. But honestly, I watched week one in the CFL, and I watched the Ticats, I watched the Alouettes, and I watched the Red Blacks, and said to myself, there's no way the Argos aren't going to lock up first place in the East Division if this week is any indication, because none of those teams looked great. Hamilton, again, three plays made the score a lot closer than the game really was. And I think the Argos are a really strong, deep team across the board. The biggest question mark is Chad Kelly, but I believe in them, so I think I will take the Toronto Argonauts here, bet the Ant Farm on it. Heck, bet two Ant Farms on this. The cheap ones, like the cheap $9 ant farms, not the 56 ones. That's a little too much for me. I'm confident in the Argos to win this one. I took the over on three straight games. I think this one's going to be the under. I think so. I'm taking the under on it. I'll go different from you guys on this. Again, Argos defense really good. Hamilton offense, I think, might struggle a little bit once again. And, you know, Chad Kelly, is he going to light it up for 30, 40 points? I don't expect so. So give me the under. I'll be the difference here.
All righty. And, of course, make sure you check out the Discord, because I'll put this all, my concoctions of potential wins and everything. And feel free to add your own. I just might not tabulate your outcome. That's all, because I got to do the rest of ours. But other than that, and yes, I am a funny FM fan. I don't know. I think it's going to be a good game, but I can't understand the line switch either. There was no major injuries or anything in Toronto, right? That was really announced. But I think it just honestly is a lot of people are betting on Hamilton, and that forces the odds to go the other way, right? And it just was started as a pick'em, and now I kind of want to pick'em the other way. But, you know, we'll see. And I can tell you right now, it's a smash that I'm getting. Like, it's 100% bet 1,000 ant farms. I'm getting a ring. Like, I am getting a ring. Even if they don't give me one, I'm getting one. I don't care.
I got to make sure that I phone my buddy Adam Gacy and tell him, make sure that if you see a guy with pink hair, that you avoid giving him a ring.
Adam calls up his 10,000 closest friends in Toronto and tells them to get to the game extra early.
Yes, because we have a whole pile of farming connections out in Ontario.
That's a big hub for farming, eh?
Absolutely. I mean, it's huge. I mean, we drive tractors through every day.
Love it. Love it.
I'm looking forward to seeing the 400 and 401 highways, man. Like, those things are nuts. Like, you think traffic bad in Winnipeg? Wait till 12.
Oh, it's awful. Don't get me talking about traffic in Winnipeg. We'll be here for the next 2 hours. Before we wrap things up, let's quickly touch on fantasy results and matchups and all that fun stuff for this week in our little season-long league that we did our fantasy draft preseason. Mike, you had the massive week despite Keon Hatcher not playing, despite Dylan Mitchell dropping that 0.5. You still put up over 100 points thanks to Kolaris Olivera, Eugene Lewis Castillo, and the Ticats defense. Got to be feeling pretty good about your week, right, Mike?
I do, but there's still 20 more to go.
That's true. That is very true. We'll see how that plays out the rest of the season. I finished second on the week with 80.6. Almost half of that coming from my special teams. David Cote with 15 points and the number one drafted defense in our fantasy league, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I made you all think I did that in a moment of panic, but maybe, just maybe, it was brilliant strategy after all. No, it was dumb luck. Trey, you finished with 54.2 points. Unfortunately, Terrell Pogrom not lighting it up for you at the quarterback position this week, eh?
It was weird. He got one shot and got stuffed, and then Drew Brown came in for a lot of short yardage things after that, which kind of hosed me. But, you know, it's like Mike said, there's 20 more seasons left. And honestly, you should see the drink specials they got going on at the racetrack on Saturday. I'm not going to even remember fantasy at that point on Saturday night, so I'll be fine.
All right. And Adam, you had some injury issues this week, didn't you? A rough week for you with 47.8.
Yeah, no, it was very ugly. I mean, Kadeem Carey got injured right away in the first quarter. And yeah, that doesn't end well for a guy. And then you had also had Greg Ellingson, who was hurt, and just not overall a very good week for Team Adam. But, well, we got to make some roster moves, I think, and we'll see how we did soon enough in the fantasy results, I guess, in our waiver wire here, because hopefully there are some good results for Team Adam.
Yeah, a couple quick fantasy waiver wire notes that maybe you want to think of some of these guys for your leagues as well. Mike picked up running back Dedrick Mills, wide receiver Austin Mack from the Alouettes, and wide receiver Drew Walikarski, outbidding Adam on both Mills and Mack. Andrew Harris let go, Kenny Lawler to IR / suspension list. I don't know what we want to call it. Keon Hatcher to IR. Adam, you lost out on a couple of guys there, but you did add Rashid Bailey for the $0 and put Greg Ellingson and Kadeem Carey on the IR. So, yeah, lots of waiver wire transactions this week. As
I have no words. Dedrick Mills, Mike, you needed Dedrick Mills. You knew that I don't have Kadeem Carey, so you needed Dedrick Mills. Come on, man. Gee.
Mike's just smiling. Mike had the best week. He won the waiver wire. Mike's on cloud nine when it comes to fantasy, because not only did he win the week in this fantasy league, he also won his matchup over Adam this week in the CFC Discord league. Mike winning 90.1 to 64 there. Trey, you unfortunately did lose in the Discord league to our friend FM Fan, who is in the YouTube chat tonight, in your fantasy matchup this week.
It's that guy? I lost to that guy. The guy who's crap-talking me in our group chat right now. Oh, God. Yeah, you can give me that ring for sure, man. Yeah. Oh. See, I don't pay attention to the matchups. I just set my lineup and let stuff happen, and I just hope I face the guy who didn't pay, and I get a free win. That's all I know, right? Like,
in the Discord league, I did face somebody who did not hasn't joined the league on the site yet, so I have no idea what their score is. So as of right now, I registered the win in week one, but we'll see. That might change later on. Adam, Trey, and myself are also playing in the CFL Podcast Fantasy League. Let's see what happened in week number one. Trey, you lost to the X's and Argos crew in that one. Myself, I lost to our defending champ superfan Mike for the third year in a row. Maybe one day I have to start doing a guaranteed tickets deal until I put up a win over him, because this is... The fans are leaving. I mean, I had our good friend Joe Balaneski on Twitter is doing pick'ems for the CFL Podcast Fantasy League this year. Picked me in week one, and I lost his trust for week two, so I got to earn that back going forward. Adam, 64 points on the week, but you still pulled out the win over Ryan from Go Stamps Go.
Yeah, Shocker. Well, it wasn't pretty, but, you know, they don't say how.
Oh,
Adam was so excited about his victory that he froze up on the screen. And he's back.
Okay, am I back?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So anyways, yeah, no, I lost. Beat Ryan from the Go Stamps Go pod. But, yeah, I should have picked all BC Lions just to counter to all Stampeders. I probably would have won that one, but and won it by way more than what I did this time. But thank gosh for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders defense for bailing me out and giving me the win last week.
We also, we do have a pick'em league going for members of the Discord community. If you want to play CFL pick'em alongside us, get in on that league. Tie for first place between HK Sparky and Travis Bass. So congrats to both of you for going 3-1 this week in your picks in CFL pick'em. I think that we're ready to wrap things up here tonight. It's been a lot of fun, lots of good times, lots of laughs, talking about week two to come in the CFL. Well, we'll be back again doing the same thing next week, previewing week number three, same time, same place. So look forward to that. We'll do all the fun things there again. If you want to follow us over on social media, you can find us on Twitter at CF Countdown Pod. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/CF Countdown Pod, and all the other great shows from around the Canadian Football Podcast Network at CF Pod Network on Twitter. Myself, you can find me at Cooper Trooper 42. over on the Twitter sphere there, probably just ranting about the lack of CFL stats. You know what? I'm not tweeting right now because I'm busy just being upset at the CFL, to be honest. Put so much effort in to automate all of our fantasy stuff for this year, and they broke all of that with the switch over to Genius Sports, just like they broke their own stat tracking. Adam was mentioning, I think, Quan Bray earlier in the show, and I went to go look at his past season stats. They don't exist on the CFL website. Nothing pre-2023 does. It's a total nightmare. Stay tuned if you want to hear more about my feelings on that for perhaps an upcoming episode of Tuesday Traffic Thoughts with Ryan, which is a bonus episode I do weekly for our Discord community. That's all I've got. Mike, what about you?
People can find me at Mike Darrow on Twitter. They can find my stuff at Game Time TV MB on Facebook and Twitter. When I'm not the enemy of the podcast, which suddenly I've turned into with Adam. But that's cool. It happens. And it's a long season. It's just fun. I'm for the record, I wasn't laughing, but I got all those players. I'm laughing at Adam's facial reaction to it. Yeah, just funny. But anyway, no, so people can find me at Mike Darrow, like I said, and Game Time TV MB on Facebook or www.gametimetv.ca. That's some exciting stuff coming up. Also, just wanted to quickly mention, if I can, on the way out, my apologies to the 1,300 Bell Media employees that were laid off today. Some of which I know, some of which are part of the CFL family, particularly those that worked at TSN 1260 in Edmonton. Brutal, brutal, brutal. No matter which way to slice it, talented people losing their jobs is never good, especially when most people that do sports, at least that I've come across, aren't necessarily in it for the money, but they're in it for their passion, and to have part of their passion taken away, such like having the rug pulled out from under them, is not fun. That being said, I think Trey can attest to this. Join the digital world. It's fun. It's an opportunity that you will never regret. It's an opportunity for sure that I don't regret, but nonetheless, it's not good. 1,300 people, you know, getting laid off is never good, including the old TSN 1290 shutting down entirely. That was really the Winnipeg effect of this. It's unfortunate. The media industry is changing quickly. It's get with it or be left behind. And, I mean, I can't tell you the number of times, you know, not to get too far into the weeds, but where I've had to not rebrand, but I've had to rejig how I go about things. And to say that the media industry is changing by the month and by the week, I think is a little bit unfair. It changes by the day. All the best to those that were laid off. It's not an indictment on you in any way. I hope you find yourself on your feet very soon and doing what you love to do.
Well said, as always, Mike. Let's go over to you next, Trey. You'll be heading to Toronto, checking out an Argos and a Ticats game. What else you got going on?
Boy, it's the biggest harness race in Canada. It goes down Saturday. It's actually on TSN 3, I believe, the 40th running of the Pepsi North America Cup. 10 of the best three-year-old colts, they're from North America, but it's a race in Canada. Go for $1 million. There's about well over $3.5 million, I think, in total in purses on the night. There's a bunch of big stake races. I'll be there. I have my Harness News live show. We usually do it in the morning. I think we're doing it at 5:30 Eastern, live from Mohawk Raceway. not 100% confirmed, but we do have a very interesting guest if you're into the sport. Potentially one of the best drivers in the world could be on our show, which I'm really excited about. Even if he's not, the fact that it's this close that he's there, pretty exciting. And like I said, after that podcast, I'm probably going to – hey, I just want to read this really quick. This is the drink special. This is what I'm going to have about 10 of, boys. It is 1.5 ounces of Captain Morgan Spice Rum, Pepsi, cherry syrup, maple syrup bitters. It's called the Spike Cherry Pepsi. I'm going to have about 12 of those after my show. So I'm not going to remember a damn thing. There's also called the Mohawk Trillium, which is 2 ounces of gin, blackberry, lemon, and simple syrup. Like, the sweetness and the alcohol, that's just going to be unreal. That I don't even know if I'm going to want to drink alcohol at the Argo game the next day. So, yeah, catch me there. And at Trey Harness Link, and like Mike said, yeah, it's the crowd. I was just talking about it with my editor at my job, where it's like, you know, we work at a independent website, so we're kind of our job is actually, you would think our job might be less safe than somebody's who works for a big company, but in actuality, our job is probably more safe right now than the 1300 people, right? So yeah. Adam, what about you?
Well, you can find me trying to vent my bitterness over Mike stealing the players that I needed for my fantasy league at Adam Stewart 1. I'll be at the Rider game on Friday, so if you see me there, make sure you come up, say hi. Probably see a few of the other podcaster guys in the CFL Football Podcast Network there. I'm sure Travis will be there from the 2 and Out. I'm sure we'll see Steve and Alex and Greg over from Piffles and a few others as well that we all got along there during the Grey Cup and visited with, so I'm sure I'll visit with some of them as well. Hopefully it's a good game. Hopefully it's not a blowout either way. I don't think it'll end up a blowout one way at least, but it might end up a blowout the other way. We'll see how it goes, and you can decide which way that'll be. If you're interested in some farm stuff or anything like that, I'd recommend running over to farmer_in_sask over on the Instagram. I'm seeming to be a lot more on there lately. Do post the odd farm stuff also on YouTube, but mostly, hey, go and check me out wherever you want to. But Adam Stewart 1 on Twitter, and yeah, hey, give me your thoughts on how the Riders do after Friday night against Winnipeg, the good, the bad, the ugly. You can give me a call or give me a message and do a call-in show instead of phoning the, you know, radio stations in Regina or Saskatoon.
Or, you know, if you want to chat about it while the game's happening, check out the CFC Discord. We'll have live game chats going on there. Link in the episode description if you are interested in joining that for free. All right, I think that pretty much does it here tonight. Whatever podcast platform you're listening on, we always appreciate it if you do all the fun things, such as like, comment, subscribe, rate, review, share the show with your friends. Help us grow the show. We always appreciate that. On behalf of the entire CFC crew here this evening, Mike, Adam, and Trey, I'm Ryan saying thank you for listening. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.